Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, looking at verses 36 through 38 there this morning. We'll stand once again for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 13. Beginning at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter, or follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Father, we're thankful again this morning for thy word. We're thankful again that thy word is true. Thankful for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary, to die for the sins of Peter, to die for the sins of John and James and others, to die for our sins as well. Thankful, Father, that as we can see in the life of Peter many times, and we see it elsewhere in the Scriptures, that we as people are certainly not perfect. We certainly have sin in our lives. We certainly do need a Savior. Thankful, Father, that we have a Savior who loves us, even when we were sinners. Without strength, Christ died for us. I'm thankful that we can know that forgiveness today and have thy peace in our hearts, and grow in thee, and walk with thee, and be a blessing to others as we are a blessing to thee as well. We pray again this morning that thou wouldst just prepare our hearts and quiet our hearts for the message here today. We pray that we would set aside the things that would distract us, and we'd allow thee to speak to us, that we'd see the importance of just becoming quiet before thee, and just forgetting about those plans that we have or whatever it is, that we might just allow thee to speak to us this morning. Pray, Father, that thou wouldst bless the reading of thy word to our hearts and guide me in the preaching of thy word. Help me to be faithful to the text. Help me to honor thee in what I say. Pray that thou wouldst give me the strength of voice to preach the message, and that thy will would be accomplished, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Beware of the Sin of Pride. Beware of the Sin of Pride. Some years ago when our children were young, there was a radio program that taught some good Bible lessons through children's stories. And this one particular story, there was a group of children that were being instructed on how to make a kite. Each one of them, the instructor had the material and gave each one of them their little kit. And then he proceeded to teach them how to build this kite so that they could later on fly it. And the instructor said that we're going to glue the main pieces together because if we use nails, it'll be too heavy. And he said also that we'll split the wood because it's very light wood, very thin wood, and we can't nail it together. But one of the boys in the group, he thought, well, if we glue things together, it's going to take too long because we have to wait for the glue to dry. And he wanted to nail his together. And the instructor talked with him and said, no, if we nail it together, it's not going to fly. It's going to be broken before you get it in the air. But the young boy insisted he wanted to nail his together. And so the instructor said, well, here's a lesson to be learned. And so he let the boy nail his together while he worked with the others, and they were gluing the pieces together and preparing the kites to fly. And as they're working away, and the one boy is hammering with his nails, and all of a sudden they hear this sickening sound coming from his kite area, and the wood split. And so the instructor went over there and noted what was going on, and showed the boy that, well, this is why I tried to tell you, I tried to show you the importance of following the instructions that were given to you so that your kite would be able to fly when it's finished. Later on, all the other children were out there enjoying their kites and flying them, But this young boy was standing there with his kite, which was broken before he could ever get it into the air. There was an important lesson that that young boy needed to learn, the lesson of humility, the lesson of being willing to take instructions, the lesson of recognizing that he didn't know everything, and there was a reason why he had an instructor that could help him if he would let him. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. There are many people who go through life and they say, no, I'm not really a sinner, and I don't think that I'm going to die and go to hell when I die. I'm a pretty good person. And I think that as long as I keep following what I want to do, the way that I want to go, in the end, I'll get to heaven because I am a pretty good person. And they won't allow God's word to speak to their hearts and show them their need to repent and be saved. And because of that, they end up going all the way to the grave. And they end up at the great white throne judgment, facing the wrath of God when they could have known the mercy and grace of God and been in his presence for all of eternity. Pride is a terrible sin. It is a sin that affects every lost individual in the world. But it is also a sin that has an effect on us as Christians. The moment we get saved doesn't mean that we no longer have an issue with pride. But as Christians, we need to identify that, and we need to confess that as sin and ask God to give us that humble heart that is necessary for us to walk with him in obedience to his word. In this passage here, Simon Peter, we started looking at him on Thursday evening. But Peter was a man who thought that he had it together. He was a man who thought that he could go with Christ all the way to the cross, that he could take it all, and he would defend Jesus even. But Peter had to learn a few things, and we need to learn some things as well. The first thing that we want to notice from this passage here today is that salvation is provided only by Jesus Christ. In verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Salvation is provided only by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it says there, And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Salvation is provided only through Jesus Christ. One of the things that we understand in our world today, and I've mentioned it here many times, is that there is a lot of confusion in our world when it comes to the matter of salvation. Many have abused what the Bible says regarding salvation, and they have developed their own philosophy, their own theory of what salvation is. One of the teachings, one of the groups, I should say, that is very guilty of this is the Roman Catholic Church. And one of the teachings that they have, which is a false doctrine, is the doctrine of purgatory. This is from a website called Highlights of Dawn. It says, Barely 100 years after the last book of the New Testament was written, an answer started coming into focus. Theologian Clement of Alexandria theorized that Christians would undergo a purifying fire that sanctifies and penetrates the soul. That idea, which was echoed by other writers of the era, might owe some inspiration to the ancient Greek philosopher Plato, who believed that curably wicked souls would endure temporary therapeutic punishment in the afterlife. Bernstein says the poet Dante portrayed purgatory as a mountain, overseen by a guard named Cato, and lit up by a constellation of four flaming stars. Souls struggled up the mountain, carrying weights and battling fire until they reached paradise. Purgatory is a thinking that the Catholics have had, as it says here, developed just barely 100 years after the New Testament was finished. And from there, they have developed it into a doctrine that they teach and believe to this day, that Jesus Christ by himself could not pay the penalty for man's sin, that we as people have to suffer something for our sin after we die before we can hopefully get to heaven. That's a false teaching, but it is taught by the Catholic Church. Another false doctrine that the Catholic Church has is the doctrine of Mary, the Immaculate Conception. Again, from the Catholic Encyclopedia, it says, in the Constitution Ineffabilis Deus of 8th of December 1854, Pius IX pronounced and defined that the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular privilege and grace granted by God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved exempt from all stain of original sin. And from there, they have developed the idea that because Mary is sinless, therefore, she is able to help in the salvation of souls. She is able to assist her son in seeing people saved. Pope John Paul II, when he was shot during his time as the Pope, he prayed to Mary for his healing after being shot. And then when he was healed, he credited her for his healing. And for many deluded and willingly deceived people, who could argue that Mary had healed him? I mean, he was restored. He could have died from that gunshot wound, but he didn't die. And since he prayed to Mary and since he credited her, it must be Mary that saved him. That was the thinking, and that still is the thinking today. But what the Pope didn't realize, and what many people who believe the same thing that he taught, they didn't realize that the God of heaven is the one who was merciful to the Pope and gave him further physical life to give him further opportunity to repent of his sin and be saved. But instead, they choose to develop a false teaching and believe a false teaching that robs them of the forgiveness of sin that they can only have through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there is the prayer to dead individuals whom the Catholic Church deems to be saints. And if you pray to them, they also can help with your salvation. All of these things are contrary to the fact that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of mankind. Simon Peter, in our text, wanted to go with Jesus all the way to the cross. Jesus said, "You can't come with me now. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." Because the salvation of souls could only be paid for by one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Peter could not be there with him, could not assist in that, could not help at all, because Peter was a sinner in need of a Savior just as much as anyone else. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, was the only one who could go to the cross and provide salvation for mankind. And so it is very important for you and I today to realize, if you're here today and you're unsaved, if you're trusting in your own merits, if you think, well, but I'm not that bad a person. I try to do good sometimes. I know that sometimes I don't do good, but I try to make up for that by giving money or doing something to help other people, if you think that you are somehow going to win God's favor through those things, you are seriously wrong. You need to understand that only Jesus Christ and only the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary can forgive you of your sin, can save you, because, you know, you're never going to be perfect on this earth. There's not a Christian in this room today that can say, I don't sin anymore. There are some people who call themselves Christians who believe that they come to a place of sinless perfection, but again, they're lying against themselves and they're lying to God. Nobody in this world is without sin. Jesus Christ was without sin because he's the Son of God. And that's why he could die for us. But Peter could not go with him to the cross. He could not interfere with God's plan of salvation. The second thing that we want to notice here this morning is that the boldest are not necessarily the most faithful. The boldest are not necessarily the most faithful. Peter was a very self-assured individual. Peter had no lack of what modern man calls self-esteem. Self-esteem is nothing more than pride. It is sin. Peter was a fairly confident man, and he thought he knew who he was, and he thought he was ready to meet any situation that would arise, that he could handle it all, any challenge that would come along his way. He thought that he was ready to follow Jesus to the cross. But Jesus knew Peter perfectly. Jesus knew that in Peter's foggy state, he would crash. Peter needed to be prepared for the future. Peter would die one day for his faith in the Lord, but he wasn't ready at this point to die. Peter had some hard lessons that needed to be learned because he was so overly confident. And he needed to understand his utter dependence upon God. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, John chapter 2, 24 and 25, it says, But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus had a very clear understanding in our text of Peter. He knew Peter, but Peter did not know himself. Peter says in verse 37, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter thought that he was a spiritual giant, but he didn't understand that he was walking too much in the flesh, and he was not the spiritual giant he thought he was. We can certainly today, we can be surprised by our own thoughts and who we think we are. If we are saved, God knows the trials. He knows the testings that we need to face, so that we can be those individuals that have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That we can be those testimonies that God wants us to be, that light shining for God in this world in which we live. Self-confidence is a very dangerous thing, but it is something the world promotes. The world says you need to be assertive. The world says you need to walk into that exam room and believe that you're going to pass and have that confidence you're going to ace the test. The world says that when you go to that job interview, that you believe you're going to have the job, and if those people would just understand how qualified you are, they wouldn't even look any further. That's the way the world thinks, and that's the way the world wants you and I to think. That we have things under control. This week, there was an item on the internet. The University of Windsor is dropping prayer from their convocation services. And on the site there, internet news, was a picture of a young woman, probably around 20 years old, somewhere in there, because she's already had some training outside of high school. So she's about that age. But she's the president of the local atheist society, and she's been fighting for this day to come where there be no more prayer, public prayer, for the past 2 years. She stated that religion should not be brought into the educational or the political realm. If some person believed that praying to God was important, they could do so, but those who did not want to believe in it should not be forced to follow along. This young woman, while she is so self-assured that she's right, that she knows where she's headed, she's been brainwashed into thinking that her humanistic religion is not religion. She's been brainwashed. She's been brainwashed into thinking that she's a free thinker who doesn't need to be bound by religion. It's very typical of the world. Very typical of lost humanity. But you know, again, Peter in our text here is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we that are saved need to be careful as well, that we don't become overconfident in thinking, well, this is, I know who I am, and I know that I can stand, I can handle the pressure, because we are still made in the flesh, and we can still fall, and we need to be dependent completely and absolutely upon the finished work of Christ in order for us to be able to serve God the way we ought to. The Bible says that when we are saved, that we become a new creature. And so that when a person gets saved, this attitude that Peter has in our text has to go. This attitude that I can go all the way to the cross with you, Jesus, why don't you let me lay down my life for you? Peter didn't understand who he was. And it is important for us as people to understand how dependent we are, those of us that are saved, how dependent we are upon the Lord for everything. For everything. God doesn't want us to fall. God doesn't want us to deny him. God didn't want Peter to deny Jesus here. But Peter didn't understand his need to be dependent upon the Savior. And we need to be careful in these things, that we don't allow our own thinking to puff us up and to make us think that we are stronger than we really are. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Says there, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, we need to learn how to behave ourselves as Christians. The world has ingrained in us, and that's where I believe that those children that start out in their formal training, if I can use that term, in homeschooling, have a better opportunity of getting a good handle on who they really are as compared to the public education system. Because in homeschooling, if it's done properly, it's focused in the Word of God. It's reminding those children from young on, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's important for young children to understand, to be reminded of regularly, to bring them to the place of where they finally do get saved. They need to understand that this self-assertiveness, this self-assurance that is so common in our world, is a crippling thing. And they need to realize the importance of instruction. All children need to learn that. But you see, the proper foundation for that is the Word of God. And in 1 Timothy there that we read there, once we are saved, we need to learn how to behave ourselves. That mentality that we've had from the world has to go, and we have to understand the importance of humility and following God and honoring him in our lives. outward boldness is not necessarily the thing. You know, we do need to be bold. I think in some ways that I'm bold in some areas, but outward boldness will only take you so far. But we do need to understand that our boldness needs to be in Christ because of what he has done for us, not because of who we are and how much, you know, we've experienced or whatever. I'm 60 years old. I've been through a few things in my life, but really, that's not the issue. It's in Christ. We need to follow him and realize our dependence upon him. And so outward boldness doesn't necessarily equate to faithfulness. And as we see in Peter, it certainly didn't. And then we see here also the sobering consequence of ignoring God's word. In verse 38, it says, Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. There are two ways to learn things in life. One of them is through receiving instruction, listening to the instruction, and following the instruction. The other way is a way that is called the school of hard knocks, where you have to experience things before you learn the lesson you could have learned with the instructions. Probably every one of us goes through that school of hard knocks at some point in our lives, in some areas of our lives. But it is important for us to pay attention to the instructions. You know, we've said many times here at church that if you're here and you're unsaved, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. We've shown from the Scriptures almost every week that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, that his blood alone can save you from your sin. We've tried to make that very clear here at Harvest Baptist Church. But yet I believe that there are people here that have been here and come here and attended here, but you're not saved yet today. You're not listening to the instructions. And let me tell you something, if you end up that way until you die, you're not going to get up from the school of hard knocks and get another chance. You're going to find out that it's too late and you're going to be lost for all of eternity. You need to listen to the instructions. Regardless of how good you think you are, you need to pay attention to the instructions. Last week at the noon hour meal there, the question was asked of a visitor, so when did you get saved? And for those of us that heard it, you remember the answer. Well, I was baptized in such and such a place. That wasn't the question, was it? The question wasn't, when did you do something to try to make yourself good? The question was, when did you get saved? That was the question. And no answer was given to that because there was no salvation. You see? It is important that we understand these things. And here in our text again, Peter is very assured that he can go all the way to the cross with Christ. He'll lay down his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. He'll protect him to the end. But the thing of it is, Jesus didn't need any protection. You remember back in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus had asked the disciples, Whom do men say that I am? In verse 13, he says, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say unto him, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ, was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see, Jesus didn't need to be protected from the chief priests and the elders. He came to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. Amen. He came to die on the cross of Calvary. And Peter, while he made the right answer, gave the right answer in verse 16, he was, as Jesus says, he was an offense unto Jesus in verse 22. He was on the side of the enemy, on the side of the devil, and Jesus calls him Satan. He was not a help to the cause of Christ. He was an interference. He was seeking to stand in the way of the will and plan of God. And Peter was one who was not listening to instructions, not listening to the teaching that he'd been given. And so in John chapter 13 and verse 38, or verse 37, he says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. He's not listening. He has an agenda. He has a plan. And he's going to follow that plan through. He has to learn the hard way that it's not his will that needs to be accomplished. It's God's will that needs to be accomplished. And you see, we all need to be reminded of that. It's God's will that needs to be accomplished. And as we said in the Sunday school hour, when we look at some of the pagan holidays that are being kept in our world yet today, that are designed to rob us of the true purpose of Jesus coming, the need even of Jesus to come, those things are an interference to the will of God, to the salvation of many souls. And we cannot allow those things to be a part of our lives, because then we too are a hindrance to other people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need to be sure that we're not standing in the way of God's plan, but that we're following God's plan and being used as instruments and vessels for Him to be able to accomplish His work in the hearts and lives of individuals. Peter, as we began to notice this last Thursday, he had some good qualities. And he would have more after this passage here in John 13. He would have more. But he needed to learn to listen. He needed to follow instructions. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we're not going to turn there, but just if you want to make a note of it, in Judges chapter 7, we have the account of Gideon there getting his army together to go and fight the Midianites. And Gideon had amassed an army of 32,000 men. It's quite a substantial army. Surely with 32,000 men, they could whoop the Midianites. They could get rid of this oppression. But God said, the army's too big. And so God said to Gideon to tell all those that are fearful to go home. Tells us there that 22,000 men went home because they were fearful. You sure don't want to have a fearful soldier when you're going out to battle. You don't want to have a soldier standing next to you that's going to run as soon as the bullets start whizzing by, you know. You want somebody that's going to get in the trenches and fight when you're in the battle. 22,000 were fearful, but yet they had signed up. We'll go with you, Gideon. But they were fearful. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, we read there of a young man that Paul and Barnabas had taken on a missionary journey with them. His name was John Mark. John Mark headed out on the mission field with them, but he wasn't ready to endure the hardness that a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure. And so he left and went back home. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. Back to Gideon's army, he's got 10,000 men left now. God says, your army's too big, Gideon. And so the next test was to take them to the river's edge. And God says, here's how you're going to discover the ones that I want in the battle, the ones that need to go home. And of those 10,000, there are only 300 that were prepared for battle. Only 300 that God said, these are the ones that are going to go with you into battle. Why was that? Because there were 300 men there that had learned and that God knew would listen to instructions. Because if you remember the battle that they fought, they didn't fight it. They didn't start that battle off fighting with swords, did they? They had lanterns, and they had them covered up. And Gideon said, when I blow the trumpet, that's when you're going to smash the covering, the vase that's over it, and the light's going to shine. And what did that do? Startled the enemy, and the enemy started killing off themselves. But what was required of Gideon's army for that to happen? Listening to instructions, following orders, obedience to the will and word of God. That's what was required. In our text, Peter was sure that he could lay down his life for his master. He had spent nights out fishing. He had endured hardness as a fisherman. He was one who could handle the rough seas many times. But he wasn't ready to follow the master, to do the will of the master, to be an obedient disciple. He was one who wanted to step in the way of the will and plan of God. And Jesus said to him, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. It's interesting here that God would use an animal, a rooster, to remind Peter of the words that he wouldn't listen to before. Kind of reminds me of Balaam in the Old Testament and the donkey that God used to rebuke him. God can use anything. He wants to use you and I. But here, he chose to use a rooster to remind Peter of the importance of listening to instructions, of following the word of God, of being an obedient servant rather than a master. As we noted in our Thursday evening study in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, Peter introduces himself there as the servant. He had come to the place of recognizing that he was a servant. He wasn't the one that was in charge. He was the one that was following direction now. And that's what we need to be if we're saved, is we need to be servants, following direction, honoring God. Because as I mentioned in the first point, you see, we have too many people like the Roman Catholics and others who have rejected God's word, and they are out there spreading a false gospel. And there are far too many people that are following that false gospel that is going to take them straight to hell. But God is looking for individuals who will follow his word that can help some of those lost people to turn from that and to come to believe the truth. But in order for God to be able to use us, we need to follow his instructions. We need to be very careful that as we go and talk to people, that we start where God says we need to start. That rather than, and I'm not saying that we have a problem here with that, but we need to be very careful that when we're talking to people, that we don't follow the bandwagon of the new evangelical and say, well, you know, you're a pretty good person. You know, here's what I can suggest to you that'll just make you shine a little brighter, but you're pretty good already. No, we start where God starts. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, that kind of put the brakes on a lot of those people that are out there. They don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. All the good things that they've done in life, and now you're going to come and tell me that I'm a sinner? You don't understand all the things that I've done. All the money that I've given. The sacrifices that I've made for my parents. No, surely God sees that. All the old people I've helped in my lifetime and the poor people that I've given to. That's got to count in God's eyes. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What have you done with that reality? What have you done with that? Never mind all these things that you've done. What have you done with that reality? Have you ever looked at yourself as God sees you? Have you ever seen yourself that way, that you are a lost sinner bound for hell? You may be here today, young or old. You may be here today. And again, have you considered that reality in your life, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Have you looked in the mirror and said, that's me? Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever let God convince you and show you that that's the reality? That outside of Him and without repentance of sin, that you are a lost sinner and you are going to hell? You need to think about that. The Bible says as well that the wages of sin is death. Have you ever thought about that? The wages of sin is death. If you persist in your own way, what are you going to get for it? Hell. That's what you're going to get. That's where you're going. Hell. Without Christ, there is nothing else but hell. And you must repent, the Bible says, in order to be saved. And so, you see, we need to understand that God's way is the right way. And you know, again, in our world today, we have so many that are suggesting that the old way doesn't work anymore. We need to change our methods. And yet, when you go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says there in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Amen. The world says preaching doesn't work anymore. I mean, look, it's obvious. We're way too small a group compared to Victory on the Rock or the Alliance. You know, we're way too small. If we would bring in the music bands and all that stuff, we could be just as big as them. And don't we understand that that's what it's all about, bigness? Isn't that what's important? But God says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Because again, those that are perishing think, yeah, but I'm doing so good. I mean, look at all the things that I have. Look at how popular I am. I mean, I've got people calling me up and texting me. I've got so many friends, I don't know what to do with them all. I'm just such a good person. To those people, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Because if I'm going to follow what that says, that means there's going to have to be changes in my life. And I'm not going there. I'm not going there. It's like the man that I've been corresponding with over the last while, who believes in infant baptism. And I've showed him from the scriptures why infant baptism is not valid. And he came to the point and responded in one of his emails and says, if this is true, what you're telling me here, and I gave him enough scripture, he can see it, it's not my opinion. If this is true, then that means that my family that has died were lost. Well, yes, that's the reality. But we can't help that. We can't change that. But just hanging on what they believe because, well, I don't want to believe that they're lost, isn't going to save you. somewhere along the line, that has to be broken, and I have to say, I'm not going to follow the wrong teaching that was in my forefathers. I'm now going to follow the truth. Because I can't change them anyway. They're gone. But I don't need to go the same place where they went, because someone has showed me the truth, and I can believe the truth.
Praise the Lord.
And you see, that's where you have to come to today. If you're here and you're unsaved, and you're saying, but if I believe what you tell me, that means my dad and my grandpa and whoever else is precious in your eyes right now, that means they're not saved. They didn't go to heaven when they died. Let me tell you something. You're not going to call them back and give them a second chance. It's too late for them. You can't do anything about that. Nothing. And just because in your mind you want to believe, but my family went to heaven, I know they went to heaven, they're good people, and you want to reject this book and believe what you want to believe, isn't going to change the facts at all. The Word of God is the truth. And so, never mind what happened back there. You can't change that. It's sad, but you can't change it. But you can deal with your own sin. And you need to listen. Don't wait for the cock to crow when it's too late. Listen to the message. Listen to the Word of God. And turn from your sin and ask God to forgive you and save you. Peter, thankfully, in this account here, this was not the end of his life. It was a hard lesson. But Peter had further opportunity to listen to the message. And he did listen. And God could use him in a mighty way as a pillar of the church. But you see, God has given you this opportunity today to listen to His Word, to listen to the need for humility, to realize, first of all, that only Jesus Christ could die for your sins. Peter could not assist in the salvation that God was going to provide, the promise He made back in Genesis 3 and verse 15. Peter could not assist in that. And even though the Catholic Church wants to make him the first pope, doesn't make him the first pope. He was never a pope. He was a true man of God, not a deceiver. And you see, we need to understand that it's Christ alone that provides salvation. And any religion, any belief system that stands in the way of that is an offense to God. Just as Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 22. It's an offense to God. It's not assisting. And we need to understand that. Salvation is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. The second thing that we need to be very careful of is that we don't rest in our macho thinking. That we don't rest in our ability to do things in this world and think that'll get me into heaven. No, we must surrender our will and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. We must repent of our sin and be saved. Girls, you ought to be listening, okay? We need to listen to the Word of God. It is important. And outside of that, there is no salvation. And if we don't want to follow that way, we must understand that God used a rooster to remind Peter. What's God going to use when you stand if you don't want to repent and be saved? What's He going to use at the great white throne judgment, it's going to echo in your mind for all of eternity? You know, this last night I woke up, and after I woke up, the ringing that I have in my ear seemed to be louder for a while. I don't know why, but it settled down after a while again. But you know, that ringing is seeming to increase a little bit more as I get older. I don't know what it's coming from. But, you know, that ringing is going to stop when I die. If you're lost here today, that guilty conscience that you have, that's going to go with you to your grave and into hell. You're going to be in torment for all of your life because you chose not to receive the forgiveness that God can provide through the blood of Jesus Christ. You won't be able to push that aside because, you know, it's a sad thing to me when I notice outside on the streets the number of people that have these earbuds in and they've got their iPod going and they're trying to drown out reality with their rock music. You won't take your iPod to hell with you. It won't be there. Some of that music may follow you there. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to be thinking about. I have no idea. But it's not going to help you. You're going to be in such torment, the Bible says, for all of eternity. You need to think carefully about that. And you see, God gives us His Word, and He tells us these things because He loves us. He doesn't want us to, oh, I never knew that I was going to end up at the Great White Throne Judgment. No, no. He wants you to understand fully that if you don't repent and get saved today, you will end up at that Great White Throne Judgment. You will face the wrath of God. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You can be forgiven today. You can be saved today. It's up to you. What will you do with the truth of God's Word? Will you humble yourself? Will you listen to God? Will you let Him speak to your heart? And will you know His forgiveness today? He has provided forgiveness through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's up to you. Will you respond? Let's pray together. Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. Thank Thee that we can be forgiven of our sin. We can have Thy peace in our hearts. We don't need to be surprised by things that happen. We can know. We can know the way of salvation. We can know that our sins have been forgiven. And Father, I pray that Thou wouldst help us here today. Pray, Father, for anyone here that is unsaved, that they might allow Thee to speak to their hearts. They might realize that they've been given this opportunity. They ought not to waste it. The warning has been given. The invitation has been given. The way of salvation is clear from Thy Word. It's through the blood of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that anyone here that is unsaved would understand that today and would avail themselves of that forgiveness that they can have right now. I pray that Thou wouldst help those of us that are saved. Help us to be careful, Father, that we would not be dependent on our own strength to get us through life. That we might understand that we are dependent upon Thee for our salvation, but also for our walk. That we need to trust Thee. We need to follow Thy direction. We need to honor Thee and be that light that Thou wouldst have us to be, that we can be a help to the lost. That they might see the seriousness of life. They might deal with their need of salvation today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take your hymn books and turn with me to number 559. Number 559. Let Jesus come into your heart. Number 559. I'd like us to stand, please, sing this song. There's a need in your heart. We would ask you to listen today. Don't put it off. If you're here and you're unsaved, then let Jesus come into your heart today. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to cleanse you of your sin. Don't put it off. Number 559. Just now your doubtings give o'er, just Thank thee that that invitation is there for individuals to be saved even today. Thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace. Thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come to this earth to give his life a ransom for many. Thank thee that while he hung on that cross, he asked that thou wouldst forgive those that nailed him to that cross. Father, that forgiveness is available today to those that are lost here today. They can be forgiven of their sin if they'll repent and turn to thee and ask thee to forgive them and save them. And we would pray, Father, that those that need to be saved would do that before it's eternally too late. We thank thee again for this time together. Pray that thy word would be a blessing to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless.